Skyline's new chicken chili is here. Now you can enjoy that legendary Skyline taste with a new protein option. Try Skyline's chicken chili on Waze, Coney's, and all your Skyline favorites. Feeling good. It's Skyline time.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
Do you have any, is there any intelligence out there at all?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 7:57 right now on Friday morning. We got a lot of pro football to get to, some college games. We'll talk about all that. We've been talking baseball. Craig Ackerman, voice of the Houston Rockets, going to join us in a second. Joining us now is a Joe Flacco stan and Vanderbilt's number one fanboy, Keith. I'm assuming it's the same Keith. What other Keith could it be?
There's a Vanderbilt fanboy?
Oh, big time. Keith?
Hey, guys, thanks for having me on. This is the real Keith, the OG Keith. Vanderbilt's 5-1 through 6. My prediction in June was 10-2. Tough loss against Bama, but they've had 2 weeks to, you know, figure things out. The Pavia red zone turnovers were a killer, no questions about it. But, Lance, I don't think I like the fact that Vanderbilt is favored against LSU. Why are they doing that?
Because
why are they favored?
You made such a big deal about it that everyone assumes Vanderbilt's going to win every game because you've been making such a big deal about it on Twitter and on this show.
And on a Houston radio show for a team in Nashville.
This is a national Houston radio show, basically.
I saw the roster in June and those stadium renovations. Clark Lee is the real deal. Pavia is the real deal. That they had an offer letter out to another quarterback in the same game at JUCO, and they flipped to pick Pavia. That's how good he is.
Well, that's great, but now they're favored against LSU.
Can they beat LSU to get?
Yeah, they can beat LSU.
They're 5-1 through 6.
Vanderbilt. Thanks for the call, Keith. We got to break it because Craig Ackerman's coming up in a second. Vanderbilt's actually a legit team. They're a good team. Watching them up close and personal, I mean, we got them on the Joe Moore Award for best offensive line in the nation. They made the honor roll, one of the top 24 offensive lines. They're a good team. LSU, they could be in for trouble here, though, because LSU is loaded up defensively. It's just a matter of which Nussmeier shows up. There's going to be Nussmeier that can ball out and make some plays, or there's going to be stupid turnover Nussmeier. And many times they show up, the same Nussmeier shows up in a game. Both Nussmeiers will. So
I got to say, I didn't expect to show up this morning and Vanderbilt football.
Well, Dell knows. This is literally any day could turn into a Vanderbilt talk day. He knows that. He's been part of that. Keith has been on this Vanderbilt train. And Keith, to his credit, has been pretty – he's pretty knowledgeable. He does a pretty good job with stuff. He has some pretty good calls sometimes. And so we've had to prey on Vanderbilt's downfalls that Keith isn't right on this one.
Hey, they lost to Bama, right? That's all that matters.
We're going to keep working on getting Craig Ackerman here because he's supposed to be getting in his car and driving. So I'll make sure that we work on getting Craig Ackerman. Until then, I want to play this. So Kevin Durant was recently on – what's that show on Netflix called, The Starting Five?
Yeah.
Right? So I hear that's a really good show. I may have to start watching it.
I've not watched it yet.
I may have to start watching that. So Starting Five, and they had Kevin Durant on there and James Harden. And one of the topics separately.
Strippers?
Separately.
Did they talk strippers with James?
No, they talked to his girlfriend.
Apparently his girlfriend?
James has a girlfriend and is in love.
Didn't you say they asked him if he is in love and he wouldn't answer?
That poor
soul. He didn't want to. He's like, I don't know why I sat down for this. I don't know that James wants to reveal that much about himself, but he eventually got around to
She's getting cheated on like crazy, let's be honest.
You don't know that James isn't in actual love now, Michael.
I know.
This may be James may actually be in real love. All right, we got Craig. We got Craig? Okay. Craig, we were just talking about voice of the Houston Rockets and one of the most exciting seasons that we've seen in a long, long time. Starts on Tuesday against the Thunder. We were just talking about that show, The Starting Five, where I don't know if you've seen any of it, but I'm going to check it out. But we are going to play what Kevin Durant had to say about the breaking up the Oklahoma City Thunder run when they traded James to the Rockets. You were here for that, right? You were here doing.
Yeah, yeah, I was here. I haven't seen the show, but I saw those clips. They were all over the place, like yesterday.
So, Kevin Durant. So when Kevin Durant, the deal was done, or he's even being talked about, I had concerns, health concerns. He's older. He's come off an Achilles. You know, can he stay healthy? I still have those concerns. However, when you watch him play, when you feel the energy of the team, when you look at, and it's a very short sample size of three games where they've all played together for the most part, you can see, Craig, that a guy who can go get a bucket when you need a bucket in a half court, yep. Wow, is that important for this team.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what he's been his entire career, a bucket. I mean, you can make a strong case that, you know, he's probably one of the three best pure scorers in the history of the sport. But yes, something that, and I think a lot of things we saw that the Rockets were missing last year in that playoff series with the Warriors. And frankly, what you need in every single playoff series is a guy who, late in possessions, late in games, late in quarters, when you need to go put some points on the board to keep the scoreboard moving. I mean, there's been very few people who ever play who's like him, where you can give him the ball and he can go do what he needs to do. Because, first of all, he's 7 feet tall. He can pretty much get any shot anywhere at any time that he wants. Even if he's blanketed and defended perfectly, he can still get a shot off. He's one of the great shooters in the history of the sport. But, yes, that is what ultimately he is going to provide this team above any and everything else that he's going to help with this team, is that when they need to get a bucket, then they can give the ball to him, and he's great in isolation. That he can be a guy that they can give him the ball, and he can provide an opportunity for them to win games. That's the importance of Kevin Durant. The singular, to me, the top importance of him on this roster.
The biggest question now is who's getting him that basketball with a Fred VanVleet injury. How concerned are you with what they're going to do at the point guard spot, and how do you expect they handle that when the regular season rolls out here?
You know, it is concern. Obviously, losing Fred is a huge loss. He's an extension of the coaching staff, the quarterback on the floor, a guy who got them organized, someone who values each and every possession. I thought Fred was in line to have a really big season this year, because look, with Durant and then Şengün, teams aren't going to be able to, I mean, if they're going to double Şengün, I don't think he's going to see a ton of double teams this year with Kevin Durant on the floor. But if you do, with his ability to pass the ball, I mean, I think Fred and everybody else is going to get a ton more open shots. Likewise, you really can't, if you're going to put two on Durant, then Şengün's going to go one-on-one, and Şengün's really good in single coverage. And then again, all those other guys are going to get wide open looks. So it's obviously a huge loss. He's been a leader for this group. But I guess if you were going to have an injury like this happen, to have it happen before training camp, as opposed to, say, in March, when you do have an opportunity and some runway to lean into the season and have a build-up and see how everything works out, I guess under those circumstances, it was better to have it happen when it did as opposed to March. But there's no question about it. They're going to miss them. But look, there is still a ton of talent on this team, and playing a lot through Şengün in the three games that he played in the preseason. Obviously, he's an amazing passer, sees the floor very well, more than capable of facilitating for everybody else on the court. You're going to see some of that from Durant, some from Men Thompson, who, again, naturally was kind of a point guard until he got to the Rockets. When he was growing up playing the game, Reed Shepard was really good, especially last night in the preseason too. So I think there's still more than enough talent to help make it up, but they have some time to figure things out.
Yeah, they do. And then they also have, if need be, there's the ability to make a move before the trade deadline, if that's something that needs to happen. Boy, what an incredibly long, tall lineup. This is the lineup they threw out. I didn't know if it was for fun or if that's a lineup we might see with Steven Adams and Jabari and Şengün and obviously Durant and Amen Thompson. It's without question. I don't even have to look at any. I don't need any statistics or I don't need information department, media relations for Rockets to tell me. I've watched Rockets my whole life. It's the tallest lineup I've ever seen in Rockets history, bar none. What do you think from a lineup set, based on what the roster looks like now from a matchup standpoint? How much ammunition does Ime Udoka have to mismatch teams now with what he has with the variety of different types of lineups?
Well, even without Fred, there is still a ton of matchup versatility, especially once they get guys back healthy. You know, Dorian Finney-Smith and Jayshon Tate and so forth, they can play a variety of ways. But that double big lineup, and we saw it when they started it in Birmingham a couple of nights back against New Orleans. And we saw it last year in the latter half of the year when they went to that double big lineup with Şengün and Steven Adams. It was the best two-man combo in the entire league. Like, when those two guys play with each other and they're on the floor together, they run opposing teams off the court. They did it to New Orleans. They did it. They've run it a couple other times briefly in other preseason games. They were pretty dominant too. I mean, it's so unique. It's so unique because Şengün's a really unique player in that he's able to just see the floor so well. And if you cut off, and all you have to do when he has the ball is just move and cut off of him, and he'll find you. And it does seem like he's become a more confident perimeter shooter. And about Prince and Goon can just get just a tiny bit better and more consistent shooting threes. And that double big lineup will be unlocked even more. And Steven Adams is, you can make a case, he's the most dominant offensive rebounder in the history of the sport. He's the best screen setter in the league. And so just guys can move and cut off of them. And so many things open up and they were going to rebound the ball like crazy. They were the best rebounding team last year in the league. They're going to probably be the best rebounding team in the league again this season, whether they decide to start the double big lineup or not, just because they have a ton of size. And that is part of their core philosophy, is to crash the glass, especially the offensive glass, and create second chance scoring opportunities. So, and it does appear, you know, remember last year, offensively in transition, they were really good. They struggled and got bogged down in the half court. It seems like, again, it's just the preseason, and you got to take all of this with a grain of salt, but it does appear now that their offense is poised to take a pretty big step forward this season, even without Fred VanVleet in the lineup, at least from what we've seen in the preseason.
I wanted to stick on that size thing there for a minute because you mentioned the double bigs and whatnot. They bring back Clint Capela in the offseason, and I think it's funny watching national coverage because a lot of people are like, what are they doing with this? Why are they signing this guy? This seems like a waste of resources. Is that, to you, is that simply a safety blanket? Because, look, Steven Adams is a guy that's got a lot of injury history, and, you know, you want to get rest for guys throughout the season. What did you make of the Capela move, and what's his role in all this ultra-big lineup stuff?
Yes, I think it is obviously part insurance because, I mean, Steven's not going to play in back-to-backs. And, going back to the issue of not having Fred VanVleet, that's obviously a negative, a pretty big negative. But a huge positive is that Steven Adams is healthy on day one. He wasn't day way late last year. And, again, he's a difference maker when he plays. So that's a huge positive to this group. But, yes, it is some additional assurance there. With all due respect to Jock Landale, Clint Capela is an upgrade at that third five spot, if you will, for this group. He's another really, really good offensive rebounder. He gives you a bit of a different dynamic instead of Steven Adams in that. I know Clint Capela, he's older, but he's still a lob and rim threat, something that Steven Adams isn't. So he does give you a different dynamic with your offense where you can have him sit a little bit more screens up top, and instead of he can roll and guards can play, like we saw all those years when Clinton was playing with James and Chris Paul here. He gives you that particular element. We saw that. Was it in the first preseason game? We saw him roll to the rim, and Alperen Şengün found him on a lob. And so he's another rim protector and defender. So, yes, he gives you more insurance, but also a little bit of different look at that third big. And Capella's going to play this year. I don't think he's going to sit a ton. I think he will be part of the rotation, and obviously he will definitely play a lot in those games that Steven Adams doesn't.
So I'm curious, you've had a front row seat for the Daryl Morey era Rockets that mm-hmm. had a certain level of success. Rafael Stone worked under Morey and obviously has some of the same sensibilities. But we obviously all think Rafael's done a tremendous job there.
Yes,
what are the differences that you've seen, the differences between the way that Daryl Morey went about being a GM and what Rafael Stone does?
Well, I think initially it stems from, Daryl was given the direction that to not tear things down and start over. And so what Daryl did at the time with you have to stay competitive, I think was pretty incredible. I mean, you brought up at the start of the interview the time when Kevin Durant and James Harden have been talking about when the trade happened with Oklahoma City. That was a game changer for the organization because leading up to that, the Rockets were good. They basically were a 500 team. And I think those rosters overachieved for several years. What they were missing was, you know, a top guy, and he was able to go get one without having to select one high in the draft, which is typically how those players are acquired by teams anyway. You select them in the draft because you haven't been very good. And so I think it just there was some different dynamics in terms of this is what we need you to do. And then obviously I think you got to get a ton of credit to Rockets' current ownership, Tilma Fertitta, the Fertitta family, saying, okay, look, they obviously that situation with James Harden got to a point where he wanted out. They decided to pivot and move. They allowed Rafael to go that route. They displayed a ton of patience and understanding as the Rockets had to go through quite a bit of pain for 3 or 4 years to draft young guys, high in the draft, develop these young guys, and ultimately have them grow and become who they've become. And so, and I think obviously Rafael's done an incredible job in the draft. He selected so many talented young players, and obviously so many of these guys have developed so well over the years. And then look, you had one of the greatest players of all time, and here we are coming off of a 52-win season in which the Rockets were one of the feel-good stories in the league last year. And now a lot of people are considering them to be legit championship contenders. And Rafael and Rockets ownership, they deserve all the credit for what they've been able to do over the last 4 or 5 years in putting this team in the position that they're now in.
Any great championship team that's out there has a player every year that surprises on the roster. If you're going to pick one right now before the season starts for who's going to surprise people this year, it'd be who?
Well, I guess based just off of preseason, it looks like Jabari Smith Jr. is ready to take a pretty significant step forward, and it seems like he really does benefit playing alongside Kevin Durant. He just appears to be a lot more locked in and confident. It looks like he has put on some weight and some strength, but they need him because, again, floor spacing is really important in the league. Floor spacing is really important to this team. Creating and scoring more efficiently in the half court results from better three-point shooting, which is something the Rockets have struggled with in recent seasons. Jabari has gotten better from that perspective each season, and he's looked really good so far in the preseason. So it looks like he's one guy. We expect a lot from Shingun. Look, he made an all-star team last year. He was dominant in the Eurobasket. We know who Kevin Durant is. Amen Thompson is ascending, but Jabari Smith Jr. looks like he might be the guy who's poised to have a really big step forward kind of year, and they need him to because they're going to need guys who can knock down some shots. And look, he played so well also as a weak side help defender with his size and length and being a shot blocker. He's a very good defender, so it looks like he's going to have a really good season.
You know, I love Ime Udoka, and I'm a coach's son, and I recognize that there's different types of coaches, but Ime has got, you know, there's some Van Gundy in him, there's some Popovich in him, and of course he played for Popovich, so that shouldn't be a surprise. There's just accountability, and
yes. He
makes people accountable, and if you want to reset a culture, nothing's more important than everyone understanding this. This accountability goes for Jalen Green. It goes for Jabari. It goes for Shingun. Everyone must be held accountable. And I want you to speak on Ime, what you see on a day-to-day basis, because he's a hard ass, which I don't mind at all, but players play for him. It's like I'm watching another Kelvin Sampson. Guys play for him. Defense is really important. They know that he has their back. I mean, he really has their back. And then I think he's created a culture of, I'm not just saying one thing to you in practice. This is how we're going to live it. And we're going to live it, and accountability is going to be at the top of the list.
Guys really respect him, even though he is hard on them. They really respect him because I think the point that you made is probably the most important word. Like, he literally has their back. Like, he literally, like it seems like Ime's itching to get out there and play and scrap. I mean, so guys really respect that. I mean, we saw the clip a couple of years ago when he was chirping with LeBron. I mean, this is the personality of this team. That's his personality. I mean, there's a lot of old school basketball in Ime Udoka, which I appreciate because I think a lot of that needs to be brought back to the league. I'm not saying that, and I think I brought this up the other night when Amen Thompson and Jose Alvarado got into it a little bit in Birmingham. I was so happy that those two guys were allowed to play because I think the league has kind of gotten a little bit too far from letting some of this physicality stick and stay as long as there aren't sort of any pure punches being thrown. Like, I'm not saying you need to go back to the days when Kurt Rambis could clothesline people, right? I don't think we should need to go that far back. But I think a lot of people, especially people around our age who grew up and fell in love with the league in the 90s and in the late 80s, would like to see a little bit more toughness and physicality in the sport, and the Rockets play that way, and the players in this league really, really respect Ime Udoka. Not just the guys on this roster, but everybody across the league. He does bring accountability. He does bring toughness. He's super intense. His entire coaching staff is super intense. It's a very young, energetic group, which I also think helps to rub off on these players. And there's no question about it. He is he is as responsible as anybody for how well and how quickly this organization has moved forward since he's arrived.
That's Craig Ackerman. He called the game last night against the Hawks, and he's on the radio with us this morning. Baller move, Craig. We appreciate it. And
no problem. Really sorry, I have mute numbers that aren't saved in my phone. Sorry. So when you guys originally called me this morning, I was like, oh no, I forgot that my phone was on.
I do that with Dell also, so he can't bother me. Yeah, I do the same thing. So listen, we appreciate you coming on, and then I can just tell you, the city of Houston, I've seen so much excitement for this upcoming season. Really excited about listening to you on or watching you on TV, and you and Hollins and our girl Vanessa, and see how the season goes. We're all very excited.
I'm looking forward to it. Obviously, opening night in Oklahoma City, but our first game for the regular season on Space City Hell Network will be a pretty juicy home opener against Detroit. Those games have been crazy against the two teams the last couple of years. They're really physical. They're really talented. Should be a lot of fun. I am very, very much looking forward to the season.
Craig,
should
we appreciate it.
I appreciate
Thanks.
You guys having me on.
Yep, you got it. That's Craig Ackerman, voice of your Houston Rockets. Let me waste no more time and start telling you about Taqueria Serrandas, because I was looking at their website. They got a section that says Mexican fast food. And I'm like, huh, what is that? Well, they've got tortas, which are the same. I don't know if you've ever had a torta. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. And they do it really well. They press it. They do it really well over there at Taqueria Serrandas. Five taquitos. What are you thinking of taquitos? It's not going to be the rolled. Yes, they have the flautas, which is what you're thinking of. But taquitos, that just means small tacos. So they do the corn tortillas, corn tortillas with your choice of meat, with grilled onions, grilled fresh jalapeno, charro beans. They've got that coming in there with you. You also have a little cilantro. Look, this is what you do. Lime, cilantro, onions. Bang. It's all done. That's all you need to do. They've got tostadas. They've got burritos, quesadillas, gorditas, which are delicious. Not low fat, but delicious nonetheless. Cheese quesadillas. And, of course, if you take it over to their signature items, that's where you run into the great chicken dishes and fajitas, different types of fajitas they do. There's a lot to choose from. A lot to choose from with Taqueria Serrandas. There are also 25 locations. I was looking at this. Baytown, Channelview, Humble, Cypress, locations along I-10, along 59, and, of course, all points in between. With 25 locations, there is no excuse that, I don't know if it's close to me. I promise you it's close to you. Taqueria Serrandas, look it up. Go find a location nearest you. You can get it to go, or you can stop in for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner, really anytime. It's Taqueria Serrandas.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Lance Erlein, Michael Connor with you. Craig Ackerman, voice of the Houston Rockets, just joined us. So, Rockets basketball kicks off on Tuesday, start of the regular season against... They're going to wear Oklahoma City's ass out. I'm already just telling you that in advance. In Oak City, it's going to be a bad opening night ceremony. The champs, they're going to unfurl a banner, and then they're going to get beat by 11 at home. And Kevin Durant's going to score 27. This is what's happened. I come from the
27,
future.
27? I'm thinking like 38.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I come from the future. I had the Bengals beating the Steelers, so I do come from the future. So I need you to understand
that. I better not doubt
I'm a numbers guy, and I come from the future. Two very important things to remember about me. And I'm the preeminent draft expert, yeah, in the world, league, world, nation.
Hey, but you're right behind Bernie the Wolf.
Right behind Bernie the Wolf.
But you're best known for.
Hey, give me some of that salchicha.
Don't listen to anything he does there, Michael.
That's not what I'm best known for.
What's the salchicha or whatever?
It's
go ahead and tell him, Dale. Tell him your favorite little thing.
Well, I don't know why you said it that way, but you were in some blood out haze, and you thought that salchicha was more of like a salacious way to say, hey, good-looking woman.
But no,
that salchicha means sausage.
That's true. Well, what I was saying
was saying...
What I was saying salchicha sounds like a dirty word,
yeah.
like sacapunto. That just means pencil sharpener. And salchicha, I said, that sounds like, you know, like, ooh,
lady.
Salchicha.
Yeah.
Yeah. But really, it means give me that sausage.
But like,
you were standing dirty.
Yeah, but you thought you were saying like you were standing next to Edward James Olmos
from
1985.
Yes, like American Me. And John starts to smile. This look came over John's face, this realization about what I had just said, and he immediately goes, salchicha? He goes, that means sausage. I went, oh, yeah, well, that's not what I meant.
How does the Italian guy know Spanish?
He goes, oh, he speaks Spanish.
Abroad, I think.
Yeah.
Wasn't that how it came about?
Okay.
And he had a housekeeper named Luce who he spoke
with.
Well,
he knew the Spanish before that.
Luce had to deal with Frankie firing her constantly. John's 3-year-old daughter would fire the housekeeper, and they'd have to tell her, no, you're not fired. That's a true story John's told on the air. It's a totally true story. So then immediately John goes, Dell, save that. And Dell goes, I've already got. And literally like 13 seconds later, Dell was playing this.
Hey, give me some of that salchicha.
So it's not great. And the listeners seem to like it.
Where do you
it.
Want the salchicha?
In a tortilla from Taqueria Sarandas where I'm having, you know.
Yeah, he'll walk in there and
taco.
Say that.
Just
walk in. No,
hey,
walk
give
in
me some of that salchicha.
Just blurt it out.
So anyway, that's not what I'm known for. I actually am known for that currently, but it'll pass. That too shall pass. Kevin Durant was on a show called, it's on Netflix, called The Starting Five, which has really great reviews, so I may need to check it out. And he was talking about when James Harden was traded away from Oklahoma City, which, of course, set the Rockets on a completely different path. Listen to who James blames, or rather who Kevin Durant blames for James getting traded. Here's Kevin Durant talking about this.
What pissed me off is like Bron and D-Wade and so many dudes around the NBA sending tweets out like, congrats to my bro, James. He got his, like, he going to Houston, he going to kill it. When they was just happy that we wasn't together no more. They was so happy. I know Bron and they was so f***ing happy that we wasn't together no more because we was on their ass. Everybody in the league was like, man, James, I'm so happy you in Houston, man. You going to kill it, bro, my bro. I was like, shut the f*** up. Y'all just scared. Y'all knew we was on the way.
Now, okay, so he just talked about that. Kendrick Perkins, there's another cut where Kendrick Perkins is on some show, and he tells a story about how at the Olympics, it was, I guess James wasn't on the Olympic team, but he was playing against the Olympians in that year, and Bron and D-Wade were all telling him, man, you got to leave there. You're too nice to be sitting there on the bench. You got to leave. And they put it in James' head that he wanted to go. So James is never going to sign an extension, the thought was, because he wanted to go be a number one. But you can see Kevin Durant was talking about basically the breakup of the Oklahoma City Thunder. You and I were doing a show together then, Michael. We were on. I remember thinking, oh, my God, you got Harden off the bench and you've got Ibaka and Russ, even though he was crazy Russ even then. Kevin Durant, that looked like a superpower for years to come. And, man, that was crazy how that thing got dismantled.
That's stupid when you think about it. I mean, they should have just given him the max deal. And who knows where we'd be sitting today. And now we're about to watch the Rockets go into a season, and they've had all three of those guys at some point, which is just completely bizarre.
All right, so that's Kevin Durant saying LeBron and everyone was scared. Let's break it in right now. James Palmer, we're going to turn to NFL. We'll talk about the Texans and much more when we come back. James Palmer from The Athletic, from Scoop City, formerly here in Houston with us, and when he was doing a lot of Texan stuff as well. We're going to visit with James coming up here on the other side. Keep it right here locked in, ESPN 97.5.
Robin was in this week, and she is awesome. You're going to deal with Robin at Houston Powder Coaters. if you are getting anything powder coated. Now, they'll pick it up absolutely free, deliver it back to you absolutely free. It's what they do, okay? They're right there on the Hardy Toll Road. They get to you. They will pick up that patio furniture or those car parts or whatever it is, metal, that you need. There's all kinds of different stuff. If it's metal and it's starting to look a little shungat, then you need Robin over at Houston Powder Coaters. You're probably going to deal with her. She's going to be honest with you, too. She's going to say, oh, we can't save this. You've got to buy something new. Or, no. We'll save this, and it's going to be better than something new because a lot of the metals that they use now in patio furniture is not as good as the old metal. It's just not as good. So you want to save that old patio furniture. Look, if you've got anything that's metal, look at the 5-star reviews that they get at Houston Powder Coaters. They take care of you every single time. Tell Robin that you heard it right here. HoustonPowderCoaters.com. That's HoustonPowderCoaters.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right. It's 8:32 on Friday. We're headed into a weekend full of college and pro football. And your Houston Texans are going to play on Monday night against, they got the late game, 9 p.m. against the Seattle Seahawks. Joining us right now is our old friend James Palmer, formerly of NFL Network. He's worked here in Houston. He's now with Scoop City, one of the ones providing scoops for The Athletic. And The Athletic, I'm a big fan. They do it old school, and they do it really, really well. Some really good people writing, especially about football. James Palmer joins us from Denver. And James, right off the bat, how much are you able to keep track of specifically the Houston Texans?
You know, I was one of those people, Lance. I was really high on these guys coming into the season. I didn't think there was a position group, maybe in the NFL, that wasn't, that their play wasn't more indicative of how a season was going to go than the Houston Texans offensive line. I mean, particular unit out of the entire league, maybe, in how a season was going to go. And so if they figured that out, in my opinion, they were relatively close each of the last 2 years in making some noise. And so the start that they had, not really what, you know, I was hoping for. But knowing people there and knowing what's going on there a little bit, I do think a lot of new was there, but they're back in the last 2 weeks and kind of being a bit versatile, like I'd like the offense to be. They're better in the red zone. I know who they played defensively the last 2 weeks. I get it. And Seattle's going to be a really, really different challenge for the way they play up front. But I do think if you start piecing things together with a new play caller and things like that, it doesn't matter if you can play if you want to get back on the right track. So I'm excited to see what happens with this team. I've been enamored with the Seahawks this season. It's been really, really fun football to watch with the way Clint Kubiak's running that show. And I think the trenches have been outstanding, and Jackson Smith and Jigba has been incredible. I love the way they design things offensively. So I'm excited for a matchup of Sting versus JSN. I think it's going to be one of the best ones we see this weekend.
Yeah, I think they've been a great surprise. They lost both their top wide receivers. Well, not top wide receivers. I mean, Smith and Jigba really came on last year. They lost DK. They lost Lockett. Kenneth Walker's still there at running back. The offensive line has been, you know, they've been building that for a couple of years now. But the play of Sam Darnold's been incredible. Baker Mayfield, and we've talked about it on our show, James, with John and I. I just think the play of Mayfield and Sam Darnold are two of the coolest stories. And now I guess you could throw in Joe Flacco again. I mean, he did it in 23 for the Browns. I mean, what does this say about the quarterback position when you can have Joe Flacco is an older player out of the league on the couch, come back and play like he's playing. You have Sam Darnold who looked cooked after 5 years. Baker Mayfield was a reclamation project. And look at how all three of those guys are playing now, but especially the first two we talked about.
Yeah, I throw a fourth in there. Daniel Jones is playing his tail off with the Colts.
That's a great point.
And so, you know, I throw him into that group as well. And a lot of time it's, you know this league. You've been around enough. So much of it is fit. So much of it is what you're comfortable in. And let's use Sam right off the bat, because that'll pertain to what's happening in Houston on Monday night. He's got an opportunity to go to the Kevin O'Connell confidence school, I like to call it, because he does such a brilliant job of making you, not only instilling confidence in you the way he coaches you, but he makes you start believing in yourself a lot. And Daniel Jones was there as well, and you saw Sam was there. And if you ask people around the league, they're like, Sam's even more comfortable now and maybe a better fit in this Kubiak system than he was with Kevin. And there's a lot of carryover between the two. But now you have guys operating in spots that, you know, with a lot of confidence that starts to bleed. Now, Baker's confidence has went through that entire locker room. And, he's following Tom Brady. And all they've had is a shuffling on the offensive line and receivers down. And he still keeps making plays. And Daniel Jones has been maybe the most efficient offense in football, what Indianapolis is doing. I wouldn't say it's balanced. I think that's actually a disservice to how good this offense has been. Whatever you do defensively, they adapt and attack you a different way. And so all three of those guys, I think it's really, really been fun to watch. I think it's also like the more football you see, like it's interesting. In baseball, you don't really hit your stride until your late 20s oftentimes, right? You know, you got to see a lot of pitches. You got to have a lot of at-bats. And I'm starting to think maybe that's the case with some of these quarterbacks is they've seen a lot more and they failed and they've known how to go through failure. And so it's been really fun seeing those three. And then Joe will throw the ball till he's 65. You know that, Lance. Like he'll throw the ball like this till he's 65. And it was really, really fun to watch him play last night.
I think one of the most interesting things about this season is all the talk out there that we're about to see an active trade deadline. Do you think we're going to see an active trade deadline? And do you expect, if there is, the Houston Texans get involved in anything?
Man, well, I look at the needs that Houston has, and I'm not sure that's the needs around the league. I would say the calls that are being made, the teams that know what they want, are looking for edge rushers. Houston doesn't really need that. You know, San Francisco, you think, might make a play for an edge. You have some teams, Philly probably will try to make a play for an edge, and those are aggressive general managers. I keep an eye on the pass rusher market. There's a couple of guys down in Miami that everybody's curious if they're going to be available, and Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips. I think those guys, you know, everybody has their eye on. And I also think pass catchers is something that some teams are desiring. I think Pittsburgh's kind of sniffing around, to my understanding, about, you know, maybe they can get a compliment to DK. I think they really like Calvin Austin, but the shoulder has kind of set it back a little bit. And when he returns, we'll see. I thought Romo's played all right, but I think they'd maybe like to add a receiver. And so, you know, I don't think they want to give up a lot, but I think the Giants are interested in possibly adding a receiver. So to me, with the trade deadline coming up, the two positions that I'm hearing the most about of teams that are interested in players are edge rushers and pass catchers. And so I think the running back market's a little bit there, but I don't know if we see as much movement there as maybe some people are expecting. I mean, we had like 18 moves, I think, in October last year before the deadline. So there's always movement. I don't know if we're going to see like a Davante Adams type move like last year. Everybody's keeping an eye on Trey Hendrickson and in his availability out of Cincinnati. And as I mentioned, the edge rushers, but you saw the move for Joe Flacco and you saw what he did last night. They're trying to hang on as much as they can until Joe Burrow comes back. And if they have any chance of getting into the postseason, they're trying to make themselves available to do it. And so they don't really deal players in the middle of the season very often. The Joe Flacco one was one of the very few they do. So I don't know if Trey will be available, but everybody's kind of curious about that one. And that would be the biggest name if he does end up moving, probably.
What are your thoughts on the demise of Kansas City? Obviously, it was overblown. I thought they looked great against Detroit. I'm still not sure where I stand on that entire division. That division with the Chargers, I think the Chargers would be one of the favorites if they had their offensive line, but they don't. I mean, they're just beat up. The Broncos, when you look at their losses, they had some tough losses. It could have been wins. And then Kansas City is really starting to, they get Rashee Rice back. So how do you see that particular division playing out?
Yeah, I'm fascinated by it. I would say, and I've said this on record, I think this is the toughest season in terms of his path, maybe, that Patrick Mahomes has had, because he's had a very Tom Brady-esque run here in terms of his division over the majority, vast majority of his time in the NFL. And now, you know, you do have the Chargers who come out of the gate red hot with three divisional wins. Herbert's playing like an MVP, but they're down to like their fifth, sixth string tackle. Their entire backfield's gone, you know. They are getting a little healthier. You know, Joel's back on the field. Lil Mac's back on the field. We'll see if they can play this weekend, but they're starting to get a little healthier. But the Chargers with Harbaugh are a completely different organization than what Patrick's gone against in the AFC West before. And obviously Sean Payton brings a different machismo to the way the Broncos play. That defense is just so elite in Denver. I mean, they're 30 sacks for the season. And if you go back to the start of 2024, they have 30 more sacks than anybody else in football. Like, Like, that's an obscene number. I mean, they're on pace for 80 sacks this year, which is just astounding. And so I do think Mahomes has a tougher path than he's ever had before because the division is more difficult. But Denver needs to get it together offensively if they want to be a playoff threat. And just Bo Nix and Sean Payton in year two, it just hasn't worked the way that they've wanted to in terms of taking a step. And with KC, this offense was designed entirely for Xavier Worthy until the suspension was up. And then you saw Worthy go down on the third play in Brazil, and they couldn't really do anything offensively. Then Worthy comes back, and they score 37, 28, and 30. And you're like, I'm getting messages from people in Kansas City going, like, this is what we meant to do offensively. Like, this was the plan, to run it through Xavier Worthy, make defenses cover you horizontally. And Patrick has, in my opinion now, over the last couple of weeks, time to throw the football. And the offensive line has started to come together a little bit. Now, the Josh Simmons situation is very interesting. I mean, there's like, and Lance, when I say this, there's like no information about what's going on. I mean, he more or less left the team before the game last Sunday, and there's very little information since. He hasn't been back. He hasn't practiced. And he was playing outstanding as a rookie at that left tackle spot. And so we'll see what happens, but I do think they go to a whole nother level with Rasheed. I'm nervous about the defensive line in Kansas City. I think Joe's a really good defensive line coach, but they don't have the beat they usually have in the middle of the defensive line. So I do think it's a tougher path for Patrick, and I think within the division. And to me, I'm curious if that impacts them at the, you know, when we get into the postseason or on their way into the postseason, they're usually resting guys going into the postseason. It may not be the case. And where are you physically compared to years past if you're Kansas City?
Feels like a tougher path for them there specifically, like you mentioned in that division. But mm-hmm. the AFC at this moment feels like it's completely wide open. Is there a clear favorite for you, or do you get that sentiment that this is truly anybody's ball game in the AFC?
Yeah, it's pretty open, and I think the loss for the Steelers last night actually changes things pretty dramatically. Like, I think the Steelers are all right. I think the passing game that they're utilizing right now, I don't know if that's sustainable for the course of the season, and the defense has been really up and down actually since the back end of the middle of last year. And so if they would have won, the commanding lead in that division would have been, you know, massive. I think 3.5 games on everybody else. Now with the loss, you know, Lamar comes back after their bye. The Ravens have played very few games in the division. Like, they still have an opportunity to get themselves into the postseason. And with as much talent as they have offensively, I'll say that, nobody saw this happening defensively, the injuries and some of the other things that have gone on there and behind the scenes. But I still think they're relevant within the race, even though everybody's writing them off, just because of Lamar Jackson and the way their schedule falls on the back end. And Cincinnati is, you know, kind of out of it now, but after last night, are they dangerous come the back end of December? You're right. It's wide open. You have the top team being the Colts, where I just love the way they're playing football right now, and I'm a big fan of Shane Steichen, in all honesty. But also, I think every one of these teams has a question mark, right? You're like, everybody goes, well, is Daniel Jones going to turn back into Daniel Jones? Like, is Denver's offense going to get it together? Can they keep getting after people the way they are as a defense? Can the Chargers charger? Will they charge her like they have in years past? Or will Harbaugh, you know, get this thing going the way that they want? I think it is much more wide open. It's not as top-heavy as we've seen in years past.
It's James Palmer. Tell us about what's going on with Scoop City. How did you get involved with that? And tell people about how they can get involved with Scoop City and who you're working with over there.
Yeah, you know, after 10 years at NFL Network and traveling this great country and spending all this time in these facilities, I'm like, I know all these guys. Like, I know all these writers. I know all these people. I think The Athletic's outstanding in what they do in terms of covering the league. And I'm like, these are my really good friends over there. Mike Silver and I were together forever, and he's one of my best friends. Now I still think he covers the league better than anybody else in football. Finds himself sitting down with Cam Ward. Oh, surprise, surprise, the day before Brian Callahan is fired. Like, Silver just has that ability. Diana and I have been, Rossini and I have been friends for forever, and I've known Chase Daniel forever. And so getting a chance to, like, you know, kind of do something on the video side as well at The Athletic that they're trying to grow and kind of headlining that a little bit has been a whole ton of fun. You know, getting guys and talking to them, talking to Ladd McConkey this week on my show and talking to Theo Johnson from the Giants about what's going on with Jackson Dart, like all these different things that I love doing and all these different voices I hope people get a chance to hear. We're trying to bring a lot of that stuff from inside facilities across the country and make sure everybody can kind of see it in one spot. So it's been a blast. It's been super fun. And then doing a show with Steve Smith, and him and I have a at a ball doing our 89 show that you can catch. And so it's been, and I mean, that dude breaks down film from the wide receiver spot better than anybody. And so it's been fun, you know, wearing these couple different hats, but Scoop City's been awesome over at The Athletic, and hopefully you check it out. It's been a really good time with all those different voices we can get, and Chase bringing a quarterback mind to it as well. Has been a ton of fun for me. I'm always learning, man, guys. I'm always learning and digging, and it's been a blast to do it with some new people for a change.
Well, if you want an honest opinion, don't worry, because Steve Smith's got one for you. Whether you want it or not, you're going to get the truth from Steve Smith, or what he sees is the truth.
I get it from Steve on a daily basis. You know, I mean, right now, you don't want to be Jerry Judy or Keon Coleman right now.
He's back on Judy?
He's never left, I don't think.
I don't think so either. And Keon Coleman is not playing. And Keon Coleman is who I thought he was, though, actually. I mean, that's who I thought he was coming out of the draft, a guy who doesn't separate and a number two wide receiver. And I think that's one of the things that's really hurting Buffalo is
– it's everything right now, Lance. You're right.
Yeah.
Outside the boundary, right? That boundary receiver is just – it's been an issue for 2 years. And I think your draft stuff is so outstanding, and I think you're spot on. And a lot of times with physical receivers in the college level – you got to be really diligent about whether it's going to translate. And it's just not translating for Keon Coleman right now with the way he played the position in college to the NFL level.
Yeah, I had him like as a third-round pick, but I still think Buffalo is going to be better than – their demise is – I'm not sure I'm buying into that either, but we'll see.
No.
That's James Palmer from The Athletic. Make sure you check out his work. Always great to catch up with you, James. Appreciate it, and enjoy your football weekend.
Will do. You guys too. Take it easy.
All right, thanks. That's James Palmer. I want to tell you now before when we come back, we've got I got a couple other football notes, and then do some fun stuff. I got some fun little stories here. Oh, there was a head coach in college football who got a massive contract, and he's not an Aggie. So a different team actually gave their coach a long-term, super expensive contract this time. Hey, if you want something that's going to give you long-term solution without having a huge contract – that's Allstate Windows and Siding. They've got no payments and no interest for a full 12 months. They've got discounts for ESPN 97.5 listeners. They've got discounts for senior citizens, discounts for military veterans, first responders, just whatever. Just ask what kind of discounts you can get. You call them or you set it up online at Allstate Windows and Siding. And what you're going to do is have them come out and measure your windows. And they want to make sure they have the proper fit on all the windows. And they are going to tell you exactly what it's going to cost you. But their windows are made in Texas for the weather that we face, which includes hurricane-strength windows. It includes, obviously, hailstorms, tremendous rain and wet temperature, tremendous heat. It's guaranteed against that stuff. And financing is available, but just know that you can lower your energy bill by up to 40%, and it's going to make your houses safer and look much more beautiful. They also do tremendous work on sidings. I've had them do windows and siding work for me, and it's awesome. There's really only one name from a window standpoint. When you want the quality, the prices, and then the service that they provide you, nobody else should even be in consideration other than Allstate Windows and Siding. 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936. Opened every day but Sunday. You can call 832-204-1936. That's Allstate Windows and Siding.
We're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We're giving away some tickets. Let's go 9 o'clock. Caller 4 at 9 o'clock wins a pair of tickets for tomorrow's game between the Cougs and the Arizona Wildcats. It's homecoming. Don't miss the pageantry, the pride, and the roar of Cougar Nation. Kickoff is at 11, so it'll be a bit of an early start. This is Houston's team, and they need you out there to create a true home field advantage. Come early, be loud, wear red. So caller 4 at 9 o'clock wins those tickets. If you don't get them from us, you can go to uhcougars.com/tickets. That's uhcougars.com/tickets. Or call 713-GO-COUGS. They got the Wildcats of Arizona. Trying to get the 3-1 in Big 12 player, the Cougs.
They're pretty good.
Cougs play. Their coach, Willie Fritz, did not get an 8-year, $93 million deal. That would be crazy.
Not yet, Lance. Not yet.
Not yet. Not yet. I mean, it's coming, but 8 years, $93 million, $11.6 million a year for Kurt Cignetti from Indiana. Another huge contract. So do you have, Dell, do you have, now don't use any Google. Don't use your typical ChatGPT you like to use on us, Dell.
I've never used that before.
Okay.
Missing out.
No ChatGPT. No Grok. Don't use Grok. Who's the highest paid coach in college football?
Well, I know Cignetti's now making over 11 per year. Could it be Kirby or?
It's Curb.
Yeah.
Oh, I would have gone with Ryan Day.
$13.3 million. Ryan Day second.
Okay.
You guys are using ChatGPT.
No.
My hands are right here. There's my evidence. I'm in the ice box over here. I'm freaking trying to warm up.
Oh yeah. You don't know how to turn the AC up.
That's
Kirby. Funny. Have you met the Colombian jet, Michael?
Last time I was here, they brought me food.
Okay. Yeah, just stay in that room.
Okay.
I just know that you just need to stay in the room. Kirby, $13.3 million. Ryan Day, $12.6 million. Cignetti, $11.6 million. Lincoln Riley, $11.5 million. Now, in terms of NFL coaches, I had no idea what the salaries were for NFL coaches. No, you know why? Because we never hear about them. No one publicizes them. It's not even something you even talk about. With college coaches, we always hear about them because they're super long. And they're,
one is public. It's public
they don't
record,
matter because right? they can buy out of them anytime that they want and leave, and they're fully guaranteed. Who do you think is the – look, Dell's using ChatGPT right now.
Hands weren't even on a computer.
I can see the reflection about? In the glass. That definitely looks like ChatGPT.
Yeah, it looks like ChatGPT is on right now. It looks like it, or Grok. Looks like he's on Grok. Who do you think is? So I had no idea what NFL coaches made. I really didn't.
I gotta be all make them north of 10, right?
Who are the? What do you? Who do you think is the highest paid NFL coach? Both of you take a guess.
Andy Reid.
Andy Reid is correct. How much do you think he makes?
At least 18.
I don't think so. I think NFL coaches make, on average, less than the top college coaches. I think Andy Reid's probably around 9.
See, I thought the same thing you did, Dell. That's why I had to go search this. So I used ChatGPT to find this out. And so Andy Reid makes $20 million a year.
Yeah, is that confirmed someplace?
Well, it's on ChatGPT, so it's probably true.
Oh, okay. Well, Belichick was making like $20 million a year with the Patriots when he got let go, right?
I don't know because we never talk about how much does D'Amico Ryans make. Do you have any idea, either one of you?
Oh, he's got to be making at least 7.
You're guessing.
Yeah, but I have no idea.
Yeah, I would think. I have no idea. We never talk about college or pro coaches' contracts. We always have to talk about college. Andy Reid makes $20 million. Like Dell, my first thought was, do NFL coaches even make as much as college coaches? I had no idea. Reid makes $20 million. Sean Payton makes $18 million. Now, it would make sense that their salaries go up since this escalation of player salaries is unbelievable in the NFL. John Harbaugh, $17 million. Mike Tomlin, $16 million. Jim Harbaugh, $16 million. No idea what D'Amico makes. I'm sure I could look it up.
I have an article from, I don't know what this is, that says he's making... There's no way that's right. $4.6 million a year? There's no way that's right. That's too low.
Right? How much? That can't be true.
That can't be true.
I'm going to check.
He says he signed a deal that's worth $28 million over the length of it. But this also does say that Andy Reid's the highest paid coach at 18, then Jim Harbaugh, then Sean McVay.
Oh, my God. Look what they're paying D'Amico Ryans. A 6-year deal, $4.6 million per year. Like, he's definitely not making more than most Power 5 college coaches are probably making more.
Yeah, I mean, look at Matt Rhule at Nebraska. I was looking at Matt Rhule because, you know, the whole thing about him going back to Penn State, maybe.
Penn State's about
to get him. He's making, like, almost $10 million a year at Nebraska.
At Nebraska.
They haven't been good since I was a child. Probably pooped my pants.
But see, this is one of the reasons private equity is having to come into college football, because with revenue share with college players now, college athletes, these colleges are running out of, and people hate hearing this, but it's true.
Money.
This is not all of them, but like the smaller schools in the big conferences, the reason private equity's coming in is they're trying to capitalize them $100 million for all the schools. There's some schools who obviously are doing fine, but there's others like Northwestern, Illinois, Vanderbilt. There's a lot of them that they're not bringing that amount of money. They're not bringing that amount of money into the school, not enough to pay the money that has to go out for revenue share. So they've got to bring excess money in, and they're having to go to private equity now and do deals with private equity to come in. And so, but one of the reasons is because coaches' salaries. That's one of the expenses, too, that people don't talk about. College coaching salaries, and then you have the buyouts. James Franklin's going to get almost $50 million. Jimbo got over $70 million.
Why would you ever work again? Honestly, I know that these guys got egos and they want to coach again, but like, well, honestly, why would you coach? Why would
and you know Jimbo's trying hard to get back into coaching. I'd be trying not hard to get to the best places in the world.
Yeah.
Dana Holgorsen, when they got rid of him at Houston, he immediately got back into the game because he didn't want to be out of it because he didn't want to be done with coaching. If you stay out too long, it's hard to get back in. Jimbo can't find a spot. Jimbo Fisher can't find a spot.
Oh, don't worry. He'll find somebody dumb enough to hire him.
I think he's probably being a little bit picky about where he goes. But and now Mario Cristobal. Dell's guy, all he does is crank out Heisman winners.
Apparently.
I mean, he's probably going to go top of the food chain, about $15 million a year, Dell. That's what you can expect. So congratulations on all your success. You don't actually think you could lose. I was looking at that game, Dell. You play tonight. Miami plays Louisville. Miller Moss. But I thought that game was in Louisville. Miami's not going to lose at Miami, are they?
I don't know if you've met Mario Cristobal before. You probably haven't. But, yeah, they're fully capable. They shouldn't. I mean, the spread is, 13.5? Their defense is good enough where the variable of just putting out a stinker defensive performance isn't there anymore like it was last year. So that makes me feel a little bit more confident. Miller Moss, who is the Louisville quarterback, doesn't handle pressure well, but he's capable. I think it should be a Miami win. Both teams are coming off a bye, but I can't put anything past the guy in charge.
No, I guess you're right. Let me break it here. When we come back, I want C.J. Stroud to tell me things about the offense. I'm going to ask C.J. direct questions, and I want direct answers from C.J. Stroud when we come back. Right now, I get direct answers from Craig DeSerf every single time we buy a cart. Now, you know, that's like every – well, it depends. On leases, I see them like every, 2.5, 3 years. So, sometimes more than three. My son is in – what is this? He's at the halfway point of his lease, and he loves his Buick Envision. I love my Buick as well. You've got the Encore, the Enclave. I drive the Enclave, which is a 7-seater, which, frankly, I don't need it anymore, but I love the way it handles. I love everything about it. The Buick Envision. My wife is driving the Chevy Equinox. All those we got from Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Different types of Alex deal is the best one of all because he happened to catch a really good rate on leases at that particular time. Every month there are new programs. And so these new programs offer different finance rates, different lengths of terms, different dealer cash incentives. There's all kinds of different offers on a monthly basis. So if you go there right now, you're going to find out that they have an amazing deal right now for trucks, and they've got great EV, electric vehicle deals, but they also have really good deals, once again, for that Buick Envision, which is a really cool midsize SUV that you're going to absolutely love. You get very fair pricing. All they want to do is make you happy, so you come back and buy your second and third cars. You tell other people about it they're out in Angleton. Craig DeSerf calls it Camelot in the cornfields because he said, man, this is unbelievable working out here. You go out to the country, but then we're able to save thousands because our overhead's so low. Great selection. Just experience the difference for yourself. Start the experience online at GulfCoastChevyBuickGMC.com or just drive out to Angleton and find out how many thousands you'll save and the unbelievable trade-in value you get from Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC.